The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Hi, folks, and thank you for joining us again for another teaching from Sunday morning at Epiclesis, an ancient future faith church in Sacramento, California. I'm Chris Alford, the pastor. And on this particular Sunday, our pastor for intergenerational discipleship, Dr. Rick Ashe, brought the sermon that he called Anatomy of a Calling. Now, for several weeks, we've been taking a look at calling and what is a calling. We've talked about how God can call. We've talked about how even the devil, it seems, can also call. But this particular teaching broke down what a calling looks like, and from both directions. He took a look at Scripture and discovered that a calling from the Lord has four parts. Turns out a calling from the enemy also does as well. Did you know that you have a peculiar calling from the Lord? Want to know what the Lord is asking you to do in a specific time and place? Join Pastor Rick now and find out. And the Lord be with you.
Well, we've got two scriptures we're going to be taking a look at this morning. They're the 1 Corinthians and the Isaiah text. And if you want to, put a little note in one and the other, we'll get into those in just a minute. Let's pray together, and then let's dive into God's Word. Lord Jesus Christ, we are thirsty. Lord, we are hungry. And the things of this world aren't good enough. They don't satisfy us. It only comes from you. So speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. Well, we have been on a journey together through Lent, and we have been talking about this idea of calling, and we have been processing out this idea of a calling in our lives, and we've been looking at it from different angles. We're going to do that again today, but I just want to recap really quickly. We have been talking about the Lord's calling in our life, that the Lord calls us to respond to Him, that the Lord calls us to follow after Him. And today we'll see that also that there are specifics or peculiar ways that He does that. We've also talked about this idea that Satan is also calling. It's a counter call that goes all the way back to the garden. Started there when God had called Adam and Eve to a specific purpose, and then the serpent slips in and says, well, I've got an alternative for you to consider. We also have been talking about this idea that our calling might not be completed in our lifetime. Sometimes our calling is to be, the mantle is to be taken up by the next generation and carried on. Sometimes our calling doesn't come till later in life. Think about Moses. Sometimes it takes a long time to prepare to step into and embrace that calling. Think about Paul when he's out wandering in the desert after he meets with Jesus on the road to Damascus. He didn't immediately just get to work. It took him a number of years to uncork his brain from all the stuff that he had believed and get himself right in the right direction, and then God was able to use him in good and healthy ways. Pastor Chris has been talking to us, this is sort of the big idea of this Lenten season so far, that God's call is very simple. God's call is very simple. It's to participate with Him in His purposes for the world. However, in other ways, it's a lot more complicated in that there are a thousand ways we can do that. Today, what I want to do is I want to talk to you about the anatomy of a calling. The anatomy of a calling. We're going to actually unpack the parts of a calling, and we're going to look at them, and then we're also going to what we're going to be able to do this morning is not only understand the meta calling, right, which is that you are being invited into the life of Christ and to the processing out of His purposes, the kingdom purposes here on earth. But beyond that, that's the big meta calling, the big idea calling. But beyond that, there is a specific or a distinctive, a specialized, the word I think I want to use this morning is a peculiar calling for each one of us. Not just over the timeline of our lives, but in specific environments with specific people specific circumstances. So there are lots of different callings that are happening in our life. And oftentimes we get stuck at one of the places of the anatomy of calling, and we aren't able to move forward. Our daughter is down at college. She is with a group of people who right now are stuck in one of the positions of the anatomy of calling and aren't able to process forward in knowing what the next thing to do or the next step of obedience is. It's interesting and frustrating for her, and I think a lot of us too. Lord, I don't know how to do this. I don't know. We're going to explore that this morning. I'm going to give you some tools this morning on how do I actually discern peculiar callings in my life that God may be leading you and I to. They're peculiar because some people may not understand. Some people may not, that's a really odd that the Lord's calling you, or that's interesting. That's the uniqueness of this. That's the exciting part of this idea that we're journeying through, is that we all participate together, but that there are individual, unique, and peculiar ways that God chooses to use us. So if you have your Bibles, let's get to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. We've talked about this idea that the Lord is calling, but Satan is also calling. And so the anatomy of a calling, ironically, flows very similarly, but with very different elements, applications, and ultimately very, very different ending zones between these two types of calling. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I want to take a look at the anatomy of the false calling, the anatomy of the counter call of the evil one in our lives. It starts with, I'm also in the New Living Translation, so if you're using an electronic version, you want to follow right along with me. That's what I'll be working with here. It says this, I don't want you to forget. Okay, pause. This whole thing that we're going to talk about here in 1 Corinthians hinges on this idea of forgetfulness. What you're going to see is that forgetfulness is the catalyst for a terrible countercalling to unravel itself. And in our lives, the challenge for you and I is to not forget the Lord's calling in our life. Because forgetfulness will allow all sorts of things to creep in that we maybe don't intend or certainly don't want in our lives, but they begin to unravel very quickly. So this whole thing is built around this idea of forgetfulness. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. Now listen to this. There's a thematic rhythm of language. All of them were guided by the cloud who moved ahead of them. All of them walked through the sea by the dry ground. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. All of them ate the same spiritual food, and all of them drank the same spiritual water. For they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock is Christ. Yet, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. The Israelites, that's who he's talking about, after Egypt, having experienced the hand of God moving amongst them, what we're trying to drive at here is this idea that all of them were blessed by God's graciousness to them. Most forgot in the desert the meta calling, the big idea calling of who they were supposed to be. Let's continue on, verse 6. These things happened as a warning to us. So he's saying, they forgot. I don't want you to forget, so pay attention. So that we would, now this is where the anatomy of the calling starts to reveal itself. These things happened as a warning to us so that we would not crave. So think of invitation. Craving is like an invitation, right? It's like, oh, I really want that. Those Girl Scout cookies, oh, right? It's a craving. It's an invitation to begin a process, to move in a specific kind of direction. So that we would not crave evil things as they did, or worship idols as some of them did. As the scripture said, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they, now here's the next part of this anatomy. So if the first one is craving, which is an invitation, the second one is that, so that, and they indulged. That might be, in the anatomy of a calling, that might be education. If a craving is an invitation to step into, indulging, that's kind of getting familiar now, right? We're not fully in. This is the sort of like, well, I'm just going to indulge in a piece of cake every once in a while. So we're not fully invested yet, but now we're starting to give into the craving. Now we've responded to the invitation. It's not habitual, but we're playing around now. It's not that, but one extra Girl Scout cookie's not going to hurt me, or three or four. I'll take a walk tomorrow, right? Now, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged, education, in pagan revelry. Verse 8, and we must not, this is the next level, engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Engaging, let's use the word exploration. So if craving is invitation, indulging is getting familiar and educating ourselves. Engaging is an intentional processing. I'm in now. Now I'm beginning to really understand. I'm beginning to process. I'm beginning to expand the boundaries. I'm beginning to push the scope of what I understand about this. It's really quite tragic. Do you see the process? It's a slippery slope. And the problem is that slope gets steeper and steeper very, very fast. Verse 9, nor should we put Christ, and this is the tragic part. Because if craving is an invitation, if indulging is education, if engaging is now fully invested exploration, nor should we put Christ to the test. That's the result. Devastation. The processing out of this anti-calling, this counter-calling of the evil one in the lives of the Israelites resulted in terrible things happening. And the warning here is that we do not process down this road because the end result is testing Christ, challenging his calling in your life and my life. Nor should we put Christ to the test as some of them did and then died from snake bites. And don't grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the angel of death. All of them were blessed by God as they went out into the desert, as they were being called to be his people. All of them were blessed. Most of them forgot that calling along the way. Some of them, a big chunk of them, were removed. That's the danger. Verse 11. These things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. Now listen to this. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptation, the invitation, right? The temptation in your life are no different from what anybody else experiences. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. So in our lives, when the counter calling comes as a craving, as an invitation, what we see here are four things that we do and God does in order to get away from that slippery slope, in order to say no to that invitation to start unraveling that counter-calling, that counter-destructive path in our lives. The first is that you will be tempted, especially in times of strength. He just says, you're going to, look, when things are really good, have you noticed this? When things are good in life, that's when temptation pours on. It's not when we're kind of apathetic, because then the devil's got us in a foothold anyways, because, you know, we're just kind of meandering along. If we're on the downslope, yeah, he's going to pour it on. But it's when you and I are, this is, okay, I don't know if this happens to you, but this is always happens to me, and it drives me insane. And it's part of my discipleship, is I will do this thing where I will kind of like look back and go like, wow, I'm in a really good place right now. And then, bam! Right? Does that happen to anybody else, or is it just me? Am I the only one who, like, that day or the next day, you're like, what happened? Things were good. It's because when you and I get into a place of strength, what do? We begin to trust ourselves. We trust our circumstances that are good, right? We take our foot off the accelerator pedal, don't we? And that's when the devil can do the most destruction. Why? Because you and I have been generating momentum. We've been moving in a direction. And if he can cut you off there and just run you off the side of the road, it takes a lot of energy to get back to that place again. So the first one, you will be tempted, especially in times of strength. It's because we lower our guard. The second, God will limit temptation's power over you. Did you know that God is at work constantly limiting temptation's power over you? That's what Scripture tells us. He does not allow the full brunt, the full weight, the full force of temptation in our lives. He is constantly on our behalf deflecting. And so as we experience temptation, we also ought to be thankful of the reality that it's not all that was getting poured on top of us, that he's deflecting away a majority of it. Then God will provide an escape for you to take. There's always a way out. Even if it has to be like Joseph, who just runs out of the house, right? He just dumps the coat and runs like crazy. If it takes that, it takes that, right? But God will always provide a way out. We don't have to engage. We don't have to give into the cravings. There's always an opportunity to bail out. And then, and this is what's interesting and important, you're going to need to take action. This is what's so fascinating about this idea and this conversation, is that it requires from us. I think this is one of the areas where a lot of people get stuck, is temptation confronts them, and then they stay there. And they think, if I just kind of like pray and push against it, right? And if I just stay here, then everything's going to be okay. The problem is, it's still right in front of you. The craving is still right in front of you. The temptation is still right there. And so God says, if you move away, take your eyes, take your focus off of this thing, then you can reorient. Then you can begin to process away from and get into a right space and continue to serve. It's going to require you and I to do something. We can't just sit there in front of cravings and temptations and hope that they'll go away. You have to engage with God. It's going to require you to put some energy into it. Like Joseph, who just ran for his life away from Potiphar's wife, right? That's what it takes in our lives. So if that's a counter-calling in our life, and that's the anatomy of a counter-calling, let's take a look at Isaiah 55. And let's look through these first nine verses here. And let's take a look at what an anatomy of the calling of God would look like, and specifically how you can identify maybe what stage you're at in a peculiar type of calling that you might be feeling the Lord is leading you to. Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 9, I love this, starts with a question. Is anyone thirsty? So good. The other one was, hey, I don't want you to forget, because forgetting leads to danger. And here, there's an invitation of the Lord. Are you thirsty? Are you actively looking for a way to fulfill the meta calling in a peculiar way in your life? Is anyone thirsty? come and drink. Even if you have no money, come. Take your choice of wine and milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest foods. Now look at this verse 3. Here's the anatomy of the calling of God. Come. Invitation. Instead of crave, come. Respond. Invitation. Come to me with your ears wide open. And then the next part of the anatomy of a calling. Listen. Education. Right? We're invited. We have to take action. We have to come to the Lord. We have to put the effort in. And then he says, listen. That's this education component. And you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. See how I used him to display my mighty power among the people. I made him a leader among the nations. You also will command nations you don't know, and peoples unknown to you will come running to obey, because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. So we have an invitation, and then listen. We have this education, this learning, God teaching you and I what it is that he wants us to do, be, become. And then verse 6, seek. That's the exploration part. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord. So where the Israelites forgot, where they embraced an anti-calling, and that ended up in destruction, the calling of the Lord, the process of coming to him, of listening to him, of seeking him and his purposes for you and I, results in a turning to the Lord, a restoration. Turn to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. So how do you and I explore, determine if the Lord is calling us to something peculiar in our lives, specific to us? We have the meta calling. All of us participate in together. The kingdom of God bursting forth in the world around us because of what Jesus Christ has done, is doing, and will continue to do through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we get to be a part of that big story adventure. But for you and I, there are specific people, specific times, specific places, specific situations that the Lord calls us into. How do we discern? Well, let's just use the anatomy of calling. So the first thing would be come. Respond to God's invitation. If you think the Lord is calling you to something peculiar, respond. Just start taking action. Oftentimes, that's the hardest part, is beginning the momentum process of just getting up to speed. So don't be afraid. Just take that first step. Just be willing to seek after him, to come and respond to his invitation. And then, once you've done that, listen. This is that education part. So this might actually be education. If you feel like there's a peculiar thing and you need to learn some information, that might actually require some education. You could find that in Scripture. Listening prayer, that's really a good place. Oftentimes, our prayer is asking. But just to sit and be still and know that he is God and listen to him speak to you. And then there's also trusted voices. This idea of listening of gathering information, of getting a better understanding of what it is that the Lord may have for you, oftentimes involves asking the question to somebody else, hey, I think the Lord's telling me to do X, Y, Z. And somebody may go, yeah, I could see that. If it's a trusted voice. Yeah, that's totally you. So if we've responded to the invitation, and if we're listening and we're gathering information as part of the anatomy of this calling, then the next step would be to seek. And this is where it gets exciting, is to actually initiate, to explore, to open and close doors. Here's the beauty of it, guys. If you think God's calling you to something and it doesn't work out, it's not a failure. It's refinement. It's not a failure if it doesn't work out. I thought that was what it was going to be. And the Lord's like, no, I wanted you to get to that place to get you to thinking and expanding because I want to refine it to this next thing over here that's really where it's at. So don't get discouraged in the process of responding to him, of educating and praying and listening and hearing from other voices if the Lord wants to refine it in a little tighter. It's not failure. It's refinement. And then what's so exciting about this process, if we engage in this, is that along the way, there's this turning to the Lord. There's course corrections that are to be made. There's a deepening of faith that is required as we process out this calling. There's what I talk about sometimes, the idea of unburdening our backpack from rocks. Did I ever tell you guys that story? You guys remember that story? It's like a joke when I was in Boy Scouts. We used to sneak rocks into other people's backpacks, and we'd be hiking along and be like, oh my gosh, my backpack is so heavy. And then we'd finally get to the location. They'd be like, oh, they'd scream and yell and run around because, you know, there's like 10 rocks in their backpack, and it was like 30 pounds heavier or whatever. But we do that a lot, right? We carry this unnecessary junk, emotional stuff and mental negativity stuff and sin stuff and craving stuff and indulging stuff in our lives. And what's so cool is that as we're going through this process of coming to him, of listening, of seeking, that he also gives us opportunities to turn to him, to refine ourselves along with the calling, to unburden that stuff from our lives. We get light on our feet, we get nimble, we're able to move and be and do and have the kind of person that God wants us to be. Now, here's what's interesting as we close this, because I got this section of scripture wrong for most of my life. Verse 8, he says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Growing up, I had like this transcendence concept of God here that, well, God's just bigger than I could ever know or understand. Like, and there's an element to that that is true, right? We're failed, flawed human beings. I mean, God has revealed himself to us through his word and through the testimony of his people through the ages, but there is a truth to the fact that he is transcendent, that there's more to him than we will ever know in this lifetime. But where I got stuck was this idea that he's just out there, right? It's like, what was it, Bette Midler's song, like, God is watching us from a distance, whatever. I'm not going to sing because I can't, but, right? But that was kind of her thing, that he's just over there, and he's far away. That's not what this is about if you look at it in context. The context is, are you thirsty? Are you hungry? Do you want more from life than just grinding along with food that doesn't satisfy you? Are you looking for more? Because I think what he's saying here is, guys, my plans are so much bigger than what you could ever concoct for your own life. My ideas of who I want you to be is so much more than you could ever imagine for yourself, that you could ever believe you could become, even now in our lives. No matter what stage of life we're in or age, he's saying, I got more for you than what you're believing right now in yourself. He's inviting us to step into that. Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Come, take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Come, listen, seek, turn to the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this Lenten journey and this idea of calling in our lives. We thank you that you protect and guide us and shield us from things we don't even realize are out there. We thank you that there's always a way out when we're confronted with cravings and indulgings and all these things that are going to mess us up. And we thank you that not only is there a big meta calling we can all step into and share together, but there's a peculiar, unique opportunity right now for each one of us to explore, because you're inviting us into something bigger than we could even ever believe for our own lives. Father, as we process through the rest of this morning, would you speak? Would you satisfy our souls? Lord, we are thirsty and we are hungry and we desire you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.